Today's daf is daf Kuf Lamed Chet. We're holding on Kuf Lamed Zayin Omud Beis at 4 lines up from the top. Omer Yehuda Omer Shmuel Hakotev Nechasav LaAcher VeOmer Hala Eifshi Behen Kana VaAfilo Omed VeTzoveach. So according to Rabbi Yehuda says that Shmuel Paskin, that if someone gave a gift to someone and he gave it out to him as in the case of Matana, so that we have a continuation of our dinim of Shkiv Mira and so on. And the guy says, I don't want it. There's no way you can get out of it taking it. That's what he seems to be saying. Even if he's sitting there screaming, look, I'm not interested in this. This is a white elephant that's going to bankrupt me. It doesn't matter. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lo Kana. Rabbi Yochanan says, if he protests, he doesn't want, you can't be mocking it to him. Bal Korcho. Now, there's not really a machlokas the way that we just said it. As Omer of Abba Bar Mamal, obviously nobody holds you can force a person to be makabel something that's not good for him. And really, v'lo plige, kan b'tzoveach mi'ikara, kan b'shotek mi'ikara ul b'sov tzoveach. It depends on the circumstances. In a case where, at the moment that they gave him over this shtar, and say, here is what was given to you, he says, absolutely not, I don't want to take it. Of course, he's not kena, because you can't be makna to a person. The only din of being makna, even where you give it through somebody else as a gift, if it's a schus for him, but any person can taina that it's not a schus for me to accept this gift, because any gift is definitely bad for me. As it says, sonei matanot yichye. If somebody lives independently, they view a gift as something bad, not something good. And so memeil, if he doesn't want it, there's no way to be mezakeh to him bal korcho. Where did we say that Shmuel Paskin, that you can not get out of it, is where at the time that it was presented to him, he was shotek, and then he takes the shtar, and then later on he says, I was only being polite, but I don't want it. L'besov tzoveach. So over there, Shmuel is saying, if he was already nechale and accepted it, well, we understand that what he did over here is he changed his mind, basically. And you can't change your mind. Once something is yours, you'll either have to be mafkrit or sell it, but you can't simply say, I never got it. And therefore, there's no real machlokas over here. Now, l'maisa, if he is tzoveach, what is the disposition of these properties? So there, we're going to see it's a machlokas b'Reish Lakish. Elsewhere says, increases, that the din is there, that if somebody says yevshi, when someone was nice in matana, basically was mafkirit, and therefore the first person to come and to take it would be zeicha in it. Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak, this is all where he himself was presented with the gift, with the shtar. So, and at that point, he was sheisek. But where there's a case, in he's present, we're doing mevzake lo al yedei acher, where the gift is being given to somebody else, and the person says, please take this on behalf of so-and-so. Now, it's in front of him, and he hears the person doing this. So he does it either with a Monsieur Zashtar, or he makes a Kinyan Sudar. This person accepts it on his behalf, and now the first time that he objects is when it's handed over to him. And he says, I don't want it. I said, why don't you say anything at the time? You sat there, you watched the guy being mezakeh to me. So there's a different issue that's involved. Because there, banu la machloket of Shimon Gamliel v'Rabbanan. In that case, it's actually a machloket tana'im, points out Reb Nachum by Yitzchak de Tanya. Hakotev nechasav la'acher, in an event where someone gives property through someone to someone, vayu behem avadim. Now, there's avadim, and avadim are a real hassle, because they cost you money. I mean, even though technically speaking, you might be able to say, you know, go out on the street and beg, but obviously people are not particularly necha with that type of behavior. So it's a burden to have avodim. The guy says, I'm not interested in having avodim, so lechora, there's no way to force it on him, right? So in the case over there, if he says Eifshi Behen, it wouldn't make any difference. If he were a kohen, the second guy, who was saying Eifshi Behen, they continue to eat truma until he gets rid of them through him because he's a kohen and they're a kinyan kasper. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and Kivan Shamar Hala Yevshi Behen Kvazachu Behen Yorshim. The moment he says, I don't want them. So at that point, we see that he was never zeich in them in the first place. And therefore, the Yorshim, assuming that the guy who gave it to him is no longer living, as he was being mezakeh nechosa, if he survived, obviously it would go back to him. So now clearly, Reb Shimon Gamliel does not hold of the way we just said Reish Lakish holds. That once the person gives it away, and therefore it's as if he was mafter it, and now someone who doesn't accept it means that the things are hefker, and the first person who comes along would take it. Here Reb Shimon Gamliel says it goes back to the person who gave it or to his heirs. And that's because he understands that when someone gives something, it's not meant as two separate issues. I am mafker it from me and give it to someone else. It's, I'd like to give him a gift. Obviously, he doesn't accept a gift. It goes back to the giver or to the yorshim of the giver. Fine. That's a separate machlokas. But over here, we say, Vavinaba, we ask to understand the machlokas over there as part of now the Shmua I'm telling you over to show you that it's a machlokas Tanoim. So we ask that. Does this make sense? The Tanakhama should say the guy's being Emid Vitzeveach, I don't want it, so somehow magically it was given to him even though it wasn't a schus for him. How is such a thing possible? Omar Rava Vitem Rabbi Yochanan, again, we need to take into consideration the order of events. If he was Bitzover Mikaro, when he sees the person giving over his property to this third party to be Zeicha for him, and he's present there, and in that case, he immediately started being tzaveach. Of course, he's not zeicha. That's ridiculous. If he was shotek ulebesov tzaveach, if lechatchila, when it was given over to him now, he was shotek, so also nobody, everybody agrees that he was kena. Because we understand now, he's basically changed his mind. He sees that these avodim are too difficult for him to keep up, and so on and so forth. Because in the end, I mean, he was only saying something after he'd already been shotek. The problem over here is in the case where it was zichalo hayadei acher, and he wasn't shotek when it was given to him. It was shotek when it was given to the third party for him. So that's a different issue. There, and only there, the Tanakhama would say, the Tanakhama Sava, since he was shatik at the time that he saw the person giving over the nechosim in his behalf to somebody else, so then he holds, he was kind of, he should have said something. Why is he being tzaveach now? Either got tzaveach, we assume that it's because Mahadu with the Kodame. He's now at Charata. He realizes it's too much of a burden. Whereas Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says that even though I would be Maida, that in a case where it was given directly to him and he was quiet, or in this case, if they handed the shtar to him and he was quiet, there I agree. But in a case where it was given through somebody else, and at that point he would show say, if in the end he's tzaveach hochiach sofar tchilato, we now see that he really never wanted these things. So why didn't he say anything at the time? Why should he? Haidelot tzavach ad hashta. The server, the guy thinks to himself, look, kilo matiliyade. So am I at tzvach? What, I should make a fuss now. It's not even lefichvodi to make a fuss. It's megornish nageya, so to speak. I'm not interested whether people want to go make a show on my behalf of giving me property. I didn't touch it. I didn't say an opinion. I'm not even interested enough to say I don't want it. If it comes to me and somebody's handing me something, I'll say, what is that? I'm not interested. But I'm not going to even make a fool of myself by making a fuss over it. It's as if it doesn't even register on me. The fact that he wants me to recognize that he gave me a gift? No, yeah, too bad. So Mamela, in this case, we have the additional factor of taking into consideration the question of whether he had a right to be shotek because he wasn't interested. But Enochinami, in the previous case, everybody would have agreed, as we just said, if he was shotek at the time that it was given to him, there, where it wasn't Zikaloy de Acher, everyone would be made that we see it as a change of mind. Tanur Rabbanan, further issues of Shchiv Mira. Once already we began dealing with the questions of giving over a gift to children and being Bechalik Nechasav in terms of the Neuchalin, which is the Iker Nekuda of our Perek, we got already into all new types of gifts. Mechalik Nechasav, Alpiv, which is the Din of Shchiv Mira, or a living will, which is similar to Shchiv Mira, except for property that will come later, Bizman that he's a Geises, so on. But we already want to see what the implications of those things are across the board. So let's say a person who's a Shchiv Mira, he says, Tnu matayim zuz leploni, v'sholosh meot leploni, v'arba meot leploni. Now, normally, if somebody gives a gift, so then he has to define each gift individually because each one is a separate kinyan and there's no connection. Just because he talks about something, there's no connection in the act of nesina between one recipient and another recipient. That is not the case by a Shchiv Mira. By a Shchiv Mira, we have an interesting situation where since he's being b'chalak al-piv, He can make a statement, one statement, with a long list of recipients. So there the question is the order in the statement viewed as a hierarchy of chronological mesira, or is it just, I only have one mouth, so I can't say the names of all of the people at one time, but I'm telling you, I want the property to go to X, Y, Z. So they're all the same. The nafkamina, of course, is that if he weren't a shchimer and he needed to do an actual conveyance, so then if there's a balchov, the balchov will go in order of being left over, whatever was free, the rest is considered to be meshubad, and this is b'nei chorin. But in a case where he's b'chalak al-piv, and there were no two separate statements, it wasn't that there was that he stopped and then he started speaking again and was achar k'dei dibur, now it's a different nesina. He's just giving a list of the people that he wants to be the ones to benefit from his property. In such a case, we don't view there as any din of kadima. So Mamela, when he says, okay, give 200 to A, 300 to B, 400 to C, in that case, in omrim kol hakodem b'shtar zocher. There's no order, because we say that in this case it's all one nesina. In which case, lefichach, yatza alav shtar chov. So let's say if we're talking about metaltalin over here, and there hadn't yet been zeicha in it, if there's a shtar chov, so then that chov would be gova mikulam. So then everything would basically be prorated. So let's say that the Rashbam's case, let's say the total would have been a 1% tviya. Let's say it was 900 zuz worth of things that he left over. And we now have the way to be machalic that 900 zuz is between three people, the two, three, and four. So each one is going to lose 1%. So that's how it would work. So he would take two zuz from one, and he would take the three zuz from the other. He would take the six zuz and the eight zuz. And that way, each one would basically lose 1%, or whatever the case would be, or 2%. So in that case, there would be no din of kadima. Everybody would suffer equally. So in that, but suppose the person who is mechalek al piv says beferish avalamar tnu matayim zuz laploni ve'acharav laploni. Now this is a whole new twist on the acharav. Usually the acharav is in terms of after A dies, B should get. Over here, it's acharav. He's just coming to define the seder of who gets first, because he himself is chayshish. Maybe there won't be enough property to go around. So the first thing I want is make sure so-and-so gets 200. Assuming that I still have assets, so then give the next one 300. Assuming that I have sufficient assets, give the next one 400. So then even though you might have thought that since all of the maimer of the Shechid Meira is being mechalek al-piv, lemaisa has to be chal at one time, because that the kayach that the Chachomim gave to a Shechid Meira is that al-piv will be mechalek nechasav upon his death. So there's no real chronological order. But as part of the takona of the Shechid Meira, they gave him the ability to define a chronological order in order that he should be in charge of how the property will be split up. So therefore, his definition of chronology becomes an abstraction, a legal abstraction of true chronology. Priority. It becomes now, even though the only way he can prioritize is chronologically, the legality of that chronological fiction becomes now a prioritizing in the eyes of the Chachamim that provide for the Kinyan. It's a remarkable idea in which we understand that time itself is really just a mode of prioritizing. So he's using time as a mode of prioritizing.
So prior to that, it might
be
time as well,
prior. Exactly. Because as we say, the only meaning of the use of the word time is to make sure that all things don't happen at once. So as we experience things happening separately, since there's a direction in time, we have a concept of prioritizing. So Mamela, the Gemara completely abstracts that idea into the legalities of prioritizing whether or not, again, it's really not all the Rishonim are maskim as to the mechanism, whether maybe there really was a chronological element that we insert into the mechanism of Shkibran, in the sense that we'll actually give it to A first, B second, or whether it's just an abstraction that this becomes the chaos that he has not to define the way things will be given al-piv. It's b'chulak al-piv, but it's a very brilliant concept in which we would simply take an idea that people experience as prior in time and give it prior in legal right, as if it's the same thing. But we're not interested in what's more important. He told us what's more important. We're interested in the legal mechanisms for what's more important. We don't care what's more important. So therefore, in that case, the Yatzalav Shtarchov, then it goes in order of whatever is free. So therefore, you'll always go after the last guy first, because the last guy to collect can only collect from what was left free after the previous ones. So you'll go them in acharon. And Nothing left. Gova mishalafanav. Ein lo. Gova mishalifneifanav. Tanu rabbanan. Another case is an analysis of the language of the gift of the Shkrit Mira. So we really have not discussed a lot of varieties of language that doesn't have a specific meaning, but that is extra. We did discuss that. It's very interesting. Back in the beginning of the Masechta, Lishna Yeterata. So we said Lishna Yeterata in a contract or in an oral contract requires analysis. So that even if it doesn't point to anything specific, we utilize the Lishna Yeterata, Libra Rabbi Akiva. The famous case that we had, which the Gemara will bring again, was the case of a sale, where normally it wouldn't include, if you hold mocher ba'ayin yafa or mocher, so normally he would be giving away the rights to an easement on his property to get to something he'd retain for himself. If he mentions what he's retaining for himself unnecessarily, then we interpret it to mean that he's also keeping the easement. He doesn't have to purchase it. So in that case, we wouldn't say he's ba'ayin yaf. That was the opening case that we had among a lot of other cases that we discussed in Rabbi Akiva. Here, the question is, how does Lishna Yeterata figure in a Mechalek Nechas of Alpiv, where it doesn't really say what it means? In other words, we don't know what it could mean, a lot of things, so that nonetheless, the very fact that it's Yeterata is viewed as a mode of understanding that there's an additional power to his gift. So we have three examples of this, which each one of which is a little bit of shocking. The three examples refer to three cases where we can interpret the gift as referring to a right that a person would have had anyway. So let's say somebody gives to his bechor. So we could understand that the giving to my bechor is because he is a bechor, which would mean that he means to designate the chelik bechora. Or someone gives to his wife. So we could understand that there he wants to designate it as the money for her ketubah. Or somebody gives to a Baal Chov, where over there we could clearly imagine that what he says is basically pay the guy the money I owe him. In all three cases, because of Lishna Yeterata, we don't define it that way, which is fascinating. So here's the case. Tanu Rabbanan. A Shkiv Mira says, Tznu Matayim Zuz Leploni Bini Bechor Kira'uilo. Kira'uilo seems to mean, as is befitting a ben ha-bechor, which lechora means that he's giving him the chelek bechora. So in that case, he is notlan vinotel et bechorato. But actually, no, it does not mean I'm giving this, designating this for his chelek bechora. He takes both. Im amar bechorato. Now, if he didn't say kera'uila, and instead he said, I want this to be what he will take for his bechora, he's amachuyev to accept it as his bechora, as we just saw. You don't need to accept that gift. So he basically can determine which one he would rather have. Yado ala elyona. Ratza notlan. But then if he accepts them, so he's accepting it as his bechora. If he feels that what he would have gotten otherwise in splitting the bechora is more suitable for him, or maybe it's worth more money. So then if ratza notel bechorato, and rejects the gift. Shkiv mirash amar tenumatayim zuz leplonit ishti kera'uila. So there too, you would think perhaps what he's doing is giving her money for her ketubah. No. Actually, no talatan venotelet et ketuvata together. If he says beferush bichtuvata, so there too, she's amachuyevet to accept this bichtuvata, because it's been given now as a matana bichtuvata. So yada aleol yona. So if she doesn't want to be mochelet her ketuvah, and there were no, obviously, there are cases that we had in Ketuvot, many cases where we interpret something as being a mefila for a Ketuvah. But given that none of those cases occurred here, so then yadala yonah to do what she wants. The Bechor also, remember, even Aliber Rabbi Yochanan ben Broku, who says you have a right to be mechalik alpiv, vayaba yom hanchilo et banav, but guf for the posik, vayaba yom hanchilo et banav, is lo yuchal vaker et ben abechor, at ben ha'ova, ben ha'snuah, ha'bechor. So he can't force the bechor to take something that's not suitable for his chelek bechor. That is not in his hands. Even though it would be open and been broken. Kol shekein as a gift, as a living gift. Biyomat chilo et banav is not the chelek, but does not apply to chelek bechor. Same thing would be in a case where Shkiv Mirah says, Numa times is Laploni Baal Chovi Kera'uilo. So there too, you would think he's giving him this money for the debt. No, he's notlan. Plus, he could still sue to recover his debt. And notel et chovo. The imam arba chovo, the Shkiv Mirah said the Firush, I want to give this to him for his chov. So then, he is notlan b'chovo. Because, says the Gemara, what? I understand. The words kerot wilo are a reason to give him extra? Doesn't kerot wilo mean bechovo? And of course, as the Rashbam explains, this is a question in all the cases. Doesn't kerot wilo mean because he's a bechor? Doesn't kerot wila mean because she's my wife and it's supposed to be no telek tuvata? What else is he saying kerot wi for? So I don't understand. So dilma kerot wilo bechovo kamar. Wouldn't that be the way you'd explain it? Omer of Nachman. So Nachman said, well, actually, Ravuna explained this to me. Omar lihuna, hamani Rabbi Akiva. Remember, we had Rabbi Akiva Shita back much earlier in the Masechta. Where over there, we said it's not. V'lo, he's medayik lishna yetera. He takes words that didn't need to be said and says, if they were said, then they need to mean something, and we're going to have to give them meaning. So the case was, the classic case is where somebody is selling a house, so it says it does not include the bor and the dut, which are either lined or unlined now cisterns. So, and that would be even if he wrote the words umka veruma. He would still keep that for himself, but he would have to purchase an easement into the property to be able to get to that, because he would be mechabai and yafa. So there, tzarech likach lo derech, divrei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva also has to buy. Chachomim omrim in tzarech likach lo derech. Now that's the background. This is not the machlokas we're talking about. That's the other machlokas about whether a mocher is buying yafa, a mocher is buying ra'a. Now, this is the part that's important. Umoda Rabbi Akiva. Bizman shamarlo chutz mi'elo. Suppose he said, I'm selling you the house without the bor vedut. So, okay, that's true. The problem is he didn't need to say it. Why did he have to say it? Even if he hadn't said it, he would have been selling him the house without the bor vedut. Therefore, we don't say, well, he just wanted to make it clear. We say that in adding that, it means he wanted to retain the rights to get to the bor vedut. Otherwise, why bother mentioning it? So then that means that lishna yetera is teaching us she'eno tzarich likach lo derech. Even though it's not what he's saying. He's not addressing the derech when he says chutz mi'elo. But since it's a lishna yetera alma, kivan delo tzarich, since he didn't need to say it, v'ka'amar, and he does say it, the only meaning to his statement must be l'tfuye milta ka'ati, to add something that otherwise wouldn't have been meant. So that's the case, same thing is true over here, Okanami. Kivan delo tzarich v'ka'amar, so then l'tfuye milta ka'ati. So he must be coming to add something. So therefore, he can't mean I'm giving to him kira'uloi for his bechora. Because he wouldn't have to say that. If he said, give my ben bechor this, I would understand that anyway. So memela, if he adds the words kira'uloi, he must be saying, it's a dover choshev to be a bechor. Let him have this as well. So he means this is a tosefet. The problem, of course, is that then the whole braita doesn't seem to make sense. Because it contrasts it with the case where he says bechorato. If the whole point is that it's lishni yetera, then you're telling me you didn't need to say the words b'chorato. You needed only to say, give this to my b'chor. Then I would have known it was b'chorato. What makes it lishni yetera? That fact. But here, if the braita says the only way to contrast it is to say b'chorato, so then obviously it's not lishni yetera. So we're back where we started from. If I need to establish that this is given for the b'chor, or for the chov, or for the ktuva, by actually explaining that to you, in black and white, so then it's not a lishna yetera. Maybe then it's just another way of explaining that to you in black and white. I could have just said lebechor, liyishti or lebal chovi, and everything would have been the same.
So then it is a
yetera. And it, no, because you see, it's not yetera because I don't assume that when I give something to bechor, it means as a bechor. Otherwise, why did I have to say bechorato? Right? So it turns out that the braita seems to be saying that it's not a lishna yetera. So how could you be saying it is a lishna yetera? So that, the Rashbam explains, that part of the braita is coming only to explain that even though you gave it as bechorato, and you meant to insist that this is be what he has to take, it doesn't help. That's the point. So that even if you want to insist, I'm giving this to you for your bechora, that Ben could say, I don't want it as my bechora, because lo yuchal avaker. So that's good for the chiddush. You're right, I don't need to say it. But what if a guy does say it, and you'd say, so that he should have the kayach? If by saying that he wants to say, and this and only this should be your bechor, it doesn't help. That's why I came to say it. Okay. So we do have a lishna yetera, and even though Ro'uilo doesn't say I want it to be in addition, but it doesn't matter, because it's a lishna yetera, and the mail it's coming to be ma'isiv. Tana Rabban, shkiv mirasha amar mona yeshli eitz aploni. Now, we have seen everything in terms of Shkiv Mira is in the kayak that he has to give away things. We didn't discuss the opposite. where the Shechid Mera is talking about money that is owed to him, not money that he wants to give away, so that it also is very much part of a last will and testament. The guy wants his heirs to know what money is coming in and what money they should be able to collect, and so on. So that would be a very common situation. So in a case where he says, look, so-and-so owes me money. So the shaila is, can the people that are there write that down? Obviously, it would only be as a zichron devarim, because there's no way we could say a person should have a right to collect from other people just because he said so.
Unless they know.
Ah, that's something else. But the shaila is if strangers are there. He says, look, I want you to write down my last will and testament. So the things that he's saying I want to give away as b'chalek b'nechasav al piv, so that's a binding document, l'maisa. So can we put in that same document and so-and-so owes me $100,000? Or might it be assumed, if we do that, that we're testifying to the fact that so-and-so owes you $100,000? In which case, this would be a shtar that the Edom are signing on. I mean, that they don't have a right to do. So here the Braita says that in the event that a Shechiv Mera says this, that money yesh li etzel ploni, meaning that he owes it to me, to give it back to me, the Edom can write that down. But since that is true, when such a document is presented to a court, it's meaningless. So that for the Shechiv Mera to know that it was written down maybe makes him feel good. But you can't use this document to collect anything. So you'll have to bring a raya together with the document. When he comes to collect in court, tzarich lavi raya, the document per se doesn't mean anything. And he will have to bring proof that it's true. Never be mayor. The Chachamim omrim, they're not allowed to even write it. Unless they are personally aware of the chov, they can't write a zichron to that chov. So therefore, when he's goveh, this serves as proof that the money is owed. Doesn't mean that it's a shtar, obviously, because if it wasn't lent on a shtar that created a lien at the time. But lamaisa, it's a raya that Edom are saying that we know this money is owed.
Rabbi Meir, he puts it on the table.
Some
may not know that there was such a
hope.
But now
yes, that thing's not useful. That's funny, because I heard it just the opposite. Omar Lihuna, Tana Rabbi Meir Omer Ein Kotvim. What I heard was that Rabbi Meir said that you can't write it at all. It's the Chachamim who said you can write it even though you know nothing, write it, in other words, Rabbi Meir, unless you have a raya. It's the Chachamim who said you can write it even if you don't have a raya. It's reversed. And furthermore, I heard that af Rabbi Meir lo Amar, the fact over here that Rabbi Meir would say such a thing is because he would hold in kotvim because of Bezdin Toin. That's all. In other words, it's not that he holds you can't write it, but it's that he's afraid that since a Beit Din may make a mistake, if I could rely on the fact that a Beit Din, every Beit Din would know that such a shtar is meaningless, so then I would say, by all means, write it down, because then it serves as a zichron dvarim. My chashash over here is not that the shtar creates any type of legal binding. It's just that a Beit Din may make a mistake of thinking such a thing, and therefore it will come to collect. And because of that, you're not allowed to write it, because we're chayash for Beit Din to'in. Omar Rav Dimi Minarda, Hilchata, in chashashin le Beit Din to'in. In point of fact, we do not have any such chashash. A Beit Din is not going to make a mistake and think that a useless document is a meaningful document. Really? I thought we passed him like Rava. My Shlomita Rava, the Omar Rava, Ein Cholzin Ela Imkein Makirin, Ve'in Me'ma'anim Ela Imkein Makirin. A Beit Din cannot simply view and sign on an act of chalitza unless they personally have identified the people that are involved. Because otherwise people could pretend that they are the people in question. And then let's say somebody wants to marry this Yavama, you know. So he pretends to do a chalitza, he hires actors to go in and do a chalitza. Then he gets a signature that this woman had chalitza, she never even appeared in court, and fine, now she can get married. So obviously we can't allow the Beit Din to do a procedure like that unless they know who is involved. So they've positively identified the people. The same thing is true about a miyun. If somebody's going to be m'ma'enet, so this is a ketana now, who is m'kudeshet, kiddushet rabbanan, so she could be m'ma'enet and dissolve the marriage simply by saying, I don't like the guy and I don't want to be married to him. But there too, it would be easy for someone to be medamien such a thing. And therefore, a Beit Din can't do it. So they can only do it if they know it. So, in Kotzin Elim Kein Makirin, Ve'in Memanim Elim Kein Makirin, and therefore, Lefichach Kotvin Geit Chalitza Ve'Geit Miun, Afa Pishen Makirin. If you are in the audience, you can witness such an event, write down what you witnessed, and therefore it will be a valid testimony because of the fact that the Beit Din clearly only would have done this if they knew that it were true. Now, surely we know that the original takana of Rava was mishum de choshishin le Beit Din to'in. Because why, lamaisa, do I need to be the one that says, well, I'm not going to allow you into my court to do a maisa chalitza because I don't have positive identification? The people will say, you don't need to have positive identification. We can't do anything to be matir until we come to a Beit Din that will allow us to get married. So when we come into the Rabbanut and we say we did a chalitza, so the Rabbanut will say, there's no indication here that it was you. There's only an indication that a chalitza was done by people who claimed to be the two of you. We can't accept that. So lemaisa, it's not your business. Right now we don't have edim that it was us. So we'll have to bring those edim later. So, but why do you need to worry about it? Nobody's going to act on this chalitza, this miyun. Must be that Rava held, well, somebody might act on it. So if it's brought to another Beit Din, so the other Beit Din will say, oh, such and such a Beit Din performed a chalitza. Why would they have performed a chalitza without knowing who it was? Must be they knew who it was. Why must that be? Why can't they think one step ahead? So you see that we're afraid that, but they didn't, don't think one step ahead. So apparently we are chayish for a Beit Din to'in. And that's why we made the takana sort of it's a bootstrap operation. The Beit Din needs to identify because another Beit Din may make the mistake of thinking that that Beit Din needed to identify, but therefore the Beit Din does need to identify. Since it does need to identify, so now you can actually be made that it was identified. It's a very curious reasoning. But it seems tautological.
The fact that a Beit Din won't check after another Beit Din having done it.
David, beloved. That's what we're getting to. So, you see from here that we are chayish for a Beit Din Toin, and you're saying the halacha is, we're not chayish for a Beit Din Toin. Now, how do you explain that? Says the Gemara, there's a tremendous difference, as David just pointed out. Lo, Beit Din batar Beit Dina lo daivi. A Beit Din may certainly make the mistake of thinking that since something comes out of a Beit Din, I'm not thinking about it any further. It has the OUs, enough. So they'll think this is the equivalent of the OUs. They'll say, I mean, why would I think that just because it has the OU that therefore it's necessarily Kol of Yisrael? That they don't think about. So Lemaisa, there indeed you have to be chayish, that a Beit Din will be making a mistake about the validity of another Beit Din, because they view a Beit Din as being something that you don't go thinking about. But in a case where Adim, your question over here is Adim signed on a Shechiv Meirah. So of course the Beit Din is going to say, well, what does that mean? Who told them to sign? It might mean nothing. It might mean a zikron devarim. So in that case, the halacha is that we're not chayish that a Beit Din is going to say, just because two guys signed something, the Beit Din is going to say, well, here it is in black and white, that we're not chayish. So memela, you don't have to be worried about a Beit Din collecting a shtar without having a raya that the shtar was good, and therefore it would be okay to write such a shtar, because we're not going to be chayish for a Beit Din to'in ad kidekach. Amar Rabbi Yonah Shmuel, HaKotev Nechasev La'acher, Ve'omar Hala Iyevshi Behen, Kana Va'afilo Omed V'tzovea. V'Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lo Kana, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Mama, V'lo Pligin, Kan B'tzovea Mi'ikara, Kan B'shotek Mi'ikara, Ola B'sov Tzovea. Omer Nachum Bar Yitzchak, in the event that it was zikalo ayedei acher v'shatak v'lebesov tzavach, there banu l'machlok Reb Shimon Gamliel v'rabbanu. The Tanya, hakotev nechasav la'acher, and the guy is present. V'ayu behem avadim, v'yomer hala iefshi behem, im haya rabbana sheni kohen, sheni being the one that was supposed to be the recipient, harei elo ochlim betruma in hiskus. Whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, well, I mean, he's saying, give him a drama, so, the Kvar Zachu Behem HaYorshim, or if the guy's alive, of course, he himself, the giver. Va'avinam ba, I don't understand, the Tanakhama, filo, omed v'tzoveah, Omar Rava Vitamer Rabbi Yochanan, let's understand the case. Bitzover mikaro de koleyama lo pligi. Of course, lo koni. In a case where when it was given to him, he was shatakal abisov tzover, koleyama lo pligi, that he is koni, ki pligi. Shezikalo ayedei acher, and at that time he was shatak, and then when they attempted to convey it to him, there he was tzover. So the Tanakhama sovar, it's the same as the other case. He should have objected right on front. So midashatik, kaninu. Haidekat soveach, obviously, is at charata. Well, it's too late to have charata. If you want to get rid of it, go sell them. Maharu de kaharabe. Ripshimim gamliel sovar hochiach sofo al techilato. Vahaidelot sovach ad hashta de sovar. What for? Kilomati liyadai amayetzva. Ton rabbanon. Shchiv mirash amar tnu matayim zuz leploni. Vishalosh meyot leploni. Vearba meyot leploni. And I'm going to call a kodem b'shtar zoche. Levichach yatsa alav shtar chov govim b'kulam equally. Aval, Amar Tnu Matayim Zuz Leploni, V'acharav Leploni, V'acharav Leploni, then Omrim Kol HaKodem B'Shtar, Zokhe L'fichach Yatzelav Shtar Chov, Gove Min HaAcharon, Ein Lo, Gove Mishel Fanav, Ein Lo Gove Mishel Lifnei Fanav. Tana Rabbona, Shrib Mira, She'amar Tnu Matayim Zuz Leploni, B'ni Bechori Kira'uy Lo. Notlan, in addition to Notelet Bechorato, Im Amar B'Bechorato, so then Yado ala Eliona, Ratzano Tlan, Ratzano Tevchorato. Shchiv Mirah Shamar Tumatayim Zuz Leplonit Shti, Kera'uila. So there Notelatan and Notelat et Ktuvata. If he said Beferush Bechtuvata, so then Yado ala Eliona, Ratzano Telatan, Ratzano Telat Ktuvata. Shchiv Mirah Shamar Tumatayim Zuz Leploni Baal Chovi Kera'uila, Notlan Venotelat Chova. I don't get it. I mean, can't kira'uilo mean kira'uilo b'chovo ka'amar? Amar Reb Nachman, Amar Lihuna. Clearly, Amani Rabbi Akiva hi. The Dayak Lishni Yeterah, as we saw earlier in the Mishnah Zan. V'lo at abor, v'lo at adut. Afa pisha katav lo kavaruma. V'tzarech likach lo derech, because he was mocher ba'ayin yafa, divi Rabbi Akiva. The Chachamim remained on Tzarech. Likach lo derech, Moda Rabbi Akiva. Bezman she'amar lo, chutz mi'elu, she'eino tzarech, likach lo derech, am Akiva de lo tzarech, v'ka'amar, l'tveye milta ka'ati, so achanami, kivan de lo tzarech, to say kera'uy lo, v'ka'amar, so then it must be l'tveye milta ka'ati. Tan Rabbanan shchiv mirah she'amar mona, yesh li eitzel ploni, ha'edim kotvim af api she'in makirim, לפיכך כשהו גובה צריך להביא ראייה דברי רבי מאיר וחכמים אומרים אין כותבים אלא אם כן מכירים לפיכך כשהו גובה אין צריך להביא ראייה אומר רב נחמן אמר ליהונה was just the opposite תנא רבי מאיר אומר אין כותבים וחכמים אומרים כותבים and the only reason that רבי מאיר said לא is because לא אמר אלא משום בית דין טועים אומר רב דימי מנהרדו ההלכתה In choshishin lebetin to'in. Why is this different than Rava? The Omar Rava, in chotzim ele imkein makirin ve'in mema'anim ele imkein makirin lefichach, the witnesses can be kotvim, get chalitza, ve'get miyun, even though they're not makirin, they can assume the beidin is makirin. Isn't that all mishum de choshishin lebetin to'in, right? Or the other lashon without the parentheses is, that's the reason that we make this takana. No, it's because Beidin Batar Beidina lo daike. But certainly a Beidina Batar Edim is daike and would not be to'eh.